why you see children on the stage. A lot of churches don't want people doing things in their main services that are kids and stuff. But you won't find that here, because a good leader knows that they're handing something over to the next generation. And so that's exactly what we're doing here. And I love little Sophie. And you know, when you get off or something in life, the best thing that you do is you just stop and you just begin again. You don't keep going when you know what you're in is wrong. You just stop and you begin again. And so that's what we're teaching here. You know, every Sunday or every Saturday night, I always say, God, what do you want to tell your people tomorrow? What do you want for them to know? And one of the things that is just a resounding occurrence for me this week, and I have said it myself, and I've had so many people on the phone or in just in different situations tell me, they've said, you know, Pastor Kelly, this just isn't fair. This isn't fair, what I'm going through. This trial that I'm in is not fair. And I can tell you that I've told God that myself. I've told God that myself. I've said, God, this just isn't fair. God, why did you let that happen? Lord, what is the deal with this? And what I can tell you is life is not fair. Life is not fair, and the Word of God tells you that when He says, in this life, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. So I want to talk to you this morning and minister to you and encourage you about those times when you get in your life and you're saying, this just isn't fair. God, I never thought that my life would be where it is right now, Lord, and I'm struggling with that. You ever wake up in the morning and you're living a life that you never thought would be yours? Amen. Well, we're going to minister on just that today. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 45. So Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. And it says here that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. In another translation, it says that it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. And what that means is troubles come, hard times come, moments in life that you don't feel like are fair. Those things come, and they come on everybody. They come on the sinner and they come on the saint, because we don't live in a perfect world. And so one of the main points that I want to point out today, when you get into those places in your life where you say, this just isn't fair, I want to tell you something right now. That is going to happen. That is going to happen. You're going to have moments. If you're not in one of those now, you will be at some point. You will have moments where you just have to stop and you say, this just isn't fair. You're going to have those moments. So many times I think that people, when they get saved, they think that they're never going to have another problem. You're going to have problems. I remember the day that Keisha dragged me down. She said, Pastor Kelly, I was going into the office and I was headed that way, and her hair was all the colors of the rainbow. And I always thought, man, I wish I could get away with that. And she said, I want to get saved today. I want to get saved today. And I always admire people that'll just track the pastor down, because let me tell you something, God saves people. If you're relying on me to get you into heaven, you're relying on the wrong person. Am I going to do everything I can do to head you off and get you in that direction? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, that is your choice. That is your choice. And you live it out every day. And I said, Keisha, let's say this prayer right now. And we were standing right here, and I said, this is not going to be easy. You're going to get saved today, but this is not going to be easy, because life isn't easy. But I promise you that there's a God that's going to be with you every step of the way. And so I can tell you, just as a person, from person to person, you're going to have those times in your life where you just get to something and it's just not fair. Many of the struggles and the battles that I have been in were of no fault of my own. Amen. You know why that is? Because they have to do with other people that you can't control. Right? If you could control everybody, life would just be perfect because everybody would just do what you wanted them to do. But that would be crazy because we can't even hardly control ourselves most of the time, right? I try self-control. I was doing really good yesterday until I got on Facebook and saw Gail's post. I've been trying to lay off of them chips that I blame 15 pounds on, them snapped chips. Those are going to be in heaven. Right by the sweet tea fountain, I tell you. Lord placed me there on that street. But I was doing so good. I've been laying off of them. And I saw them. Gail was eating them. And I saw them. And my mouth started watering. And I was like, oh, I've been so good. But I'm about to be bad. And I got me some of them chips. And I just started going to town on them. But let me tell you something. We have trouble controlling our own selves. And so when we get to points in our life that it's not fair, because they usually involve other people. I can't control what Gail posts on Facebook. Right? How many of you had a binge just because of that post? Now look, if you came into here and don't want to laugh or you're going to have a problem, you're going to have a major issue in this service because we're just not that type of church. We're going to have a good time here, and we're going to learn something, and we're going to see what God's going to do in this service. But anyhow, it's going to happen. You're going to have those moments in your life where it's just not fair. It's not fair. You didn't ask for it, but it came knocking at your door, and here you are. And so let's go now to Genesis chapter 45, and we're going to look at verse 4 through 5. And we're talking about Joseph, and I'm going to set the scene. As many of us know, Joseph had all these brothers. His dad had given him a coat of many colors. The brothers were jealous. They beat him. They put him in a little hole, and then they sold him. And God turned that situation around, and he made it for Joseph's good. And then there became a famine and hard times. Notice I said hard times come. And then his brothers end up coming right to him, and they were unaware of the fact that they were standing before their brother Joseph, whom they had wronged. You know how many times Joseph probably said, "This just isn't fair. I didn't ask for this. This problem came." And as I pointed out before, Joseph was in this scenario because of the people that he loved the most. There are times where things happen and they are very unfair and they are at the hands of the people that you love the most. Some of the times where I have said the most, "God, this isn't fair," is because of the people that I was the most closest to. And I'm putting that inside of you today because, see, what God doesn't want is for that to make you bitter. You're going to be better or you're going to be bitter, but you cannot be those two things. You're going to choose every day what you're going to be. Are you going to be a bitter, dried up old person that just can't forgive anybody? Are you going to be able to let it go and say, "You know what, God, you'll be the ultimate judge, but God, as for me and my house, I'm moving forward." God, know this isn't fair, but God, nothing's fair in life, and Lord, you're going to make it up. And here's Joseph. And he's in the position that God put him in. See, you know what? Your hardships are bringing you to a place of authority and power. Those things in your life that weren't fair, they are putting you at the very top. Has it been uncomfortable for you? I'm sure it has. It's been uncomfortable for me. But your difficulty is placing you at the very top of your game. And if you quit now, you'll never get there. You have got to keep going, and you have got to say, "You know what, God? Nevertheless, your will be done." Lord, no, it's not fair, but God, we're not talking about what's fair. We're talking about who you are. God, who are you to me? And so here he is. Here's Joseph in chapter 45 and verse 4. He says, "Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come close to me.' And when they had done so, he said, 'I am your brother, Joseph, the one that you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. And I, you know what? Joseph went through a lot of stuff, and it was unfair. But at the end of the day, he was able to do one very important thing. And we all have to get to this place where we are able to do this. He took that hard thing. He took that unfair thing. And he said, this happened so God could put me and bring me ahead of y'all and make a way. See, if you're always sitting there and you're having your self-pity party and you're blaming God and you're blaming this one and you're blaming that one, if that's who you are, you're never going to be able to see just exactly where God's trying to take you, because you're going to be in that self-pity, and the devil will keep you in self-pity and you'll never go anywhere in your life. But if you want to move up and on, you're going to start looking at your battle in a different way, and you're going to ask God, God, where are you taking me and why am I going here? Was it unfair for Joseph? Yes, it was. But at the end of the day, Miss Sherry, he was able to do one very powerful move. He was able to see just exactly what his struggle was for. There was a purpose in it. There is a purpose for what you're going through. Doesn't make it fair. Doesn't make it easy. But God is going to bring you to a place in that, and it is a place of power and authority where you're no beyond the shadow of a doubt. Only God could have done this with me. Only God could have made this happen. And so you need to begin to, when you get in those places in your life where you're saying, this is not fair, ask God to show you what's going on with that situation. Why is God allowing you to go through it? There is not one thing that goes on this earth that God doesn't know about beforehand. And we think about that and we ask God, Lord, why would you allow that stuff to happen? Look here. We don't live in a perfect world. We live in a world where there sin abounds greatly. People are born with a free will and they do things and it affects us. And there comes a point in that part of life when we get to those places where we just have to say, God, only you can make this up. And we begin to trust God and we begin to believe God that he's bringing it around. And so find that place in your struggle and say, you know what, God, why do you have me here? See, Joseph said, God did this because he wanted me to come before you and to be able to help you. You know, a lot of times when you help people, it's going to come at a sacrifice to you. I'm going to say that one more time. A lot of times when you help people and you're good to people and you're loving on people and you're doing what God's told you to do, it's going to come at a sacrifice to you. Make the sacrifice. Make the sacrifice. You know how many Wednesdays I sit out here and I'm not in the mood for it? I've done it in the heat. I've done it in the rain. I've done it in the snow. I've done it in 100-degree weather. I've done it in very cold weather. But you know what? I haven't spent a lot of time asking God why this and why that. And you know what? I'm grateful for the opportunity. But it's going to come at a sacrifice to you. And there are times where things happen and they leave you in a place where you're hurting. And you're saying, now, God, this isn't fair. I gave my all in this situation and it turned around and it burned me and it hurt me. And now I'm hurting and this person just looks like they're able to just go on with their life and everything be fine. See, let's just preach where we all live, right? There's times when people have hurt you so bad that you just sit there and you wonder why they get to go on and be happy and you're hurting. And I've been there and I've done that. But what I can tell you is the most powerful move that you could ever make is to turn that type of thinking turn it around and say, you know what, God, I don't feel like it's fair, but God, you allowed this in my life. So God, I'm asking you right now to begin to just unfold it, Lord. And God, put me where you want me to be. Lord, help me to be in your will. God, help me to move with the flow of the Holy Spirit that's bringing this situation along. You know what? Nothing. God will not waste one thing in your struggle. Not one thing. He won't waste one tear in your heartache. He won't waste anything. Yeah, you're going to come to points in your life where it's not fair. I was talking to Adam before the service, and I said, where have you been, brother? Look here. If I knew him any better, I'd be tracking him down. Don't know him that well yet. He began to tell me about his little vehicle issue with getting hit. That's always a bummer. My brand new SUV got hit last year. And here we were delivering food. All right, now look here. My kids tell me, Mama, you love that car more than you love us. Look here, that car on Thanksgiving's got its own place at the dinner table. That's how much I love that car, okay? But that car is not my God. Dad gets in the car with me sometimes, and I'm grinning ear to ear, and he's like, why are you smiling so big? I'm like, I just love this car. I love it. On a bad day, I just want to get up inside of it and come out with a brand new attitude. And here I am, and we're delivering meals on a Monday night. Why? Because God told me to. Hear me and Sister Blabbermouth, who's living her best recovered life right now, praise God. We were in the back of this car, and Keisha was in the car, and that pop of that hatch opened up, and I looked at Keisha's face, and she looked horrified. And she started screaming, get out of the way. And out of the corner of my eye, all I see is something coming at us. And I shoved Sister Blabbermouth plumb to the ground, and all I did was step over her. The moment that I stepped over, a bus literally took my car, banged it, had it up off the ground, would have killed us. And I went home that night, and I had to have a moment. And this is what I said to God. I said, God, after everything that I do for this community, you let my baby get hit. And God, I am ticked. He said, Kelly, I want you to get up and go outside. I said, okay, Lord. He said, get in a real good sunny spot where you can see real good. So I did, and I still have this picture this day. He said, get your phone out. I said, okay, and I got my phone out. Because, see, God can talk to you. See, we're so crazy that we'll sit at restaurants and we'll all be on our phones instead of talking to our family. You ever notice that? And see, God knows how to get your number. He said, Kelly, get your phone out. Okay. Get the camera out. Get your legs that you like to get tanned up and take a picture of them. Kelly. Just as you have everybody stand Sunday mornings, every Sunday morning, you're able to stand tonight because of who I am. Yeah, your baby got hit. I'm going to let you minister to a few people with the car business. And I'm going to teach you some things. But you know what? Life isn't fair. Life isn't fair. But I will tell you this. The moments in my life where I have felt they were most unfair, God used those things, and they were pivotal moments for me that I wouldn't take back for anything. Were they hard? Yes, they were. Would I want to go through them again? No, I wouldn't. But what I can say is that God walked me through every moment of it. I can't be mad at him. I can't blame him. All I can do is thank him because they made me who I am. And your problem that you're going through right now, your battle, your struggle, it's going to make you so much stronger. It's going to make you better. And one of the things that I'm so thankful for is there are things that I have gone through in the past 3 years that, you know what, at the time they were the trial of my faith, but they have created inside of me an ability to be compassionate for things that I could have never been compassionate for otherwise. I don't know if any of y'all are a little self-righteous, judgmental Christians every once in a while, but I can be. Thank you, Brother Sam, for that. Amen. See, we can get a little too uppity. We can start thinking, well, that person, They did that to themselves. My favorite is when Christians have been Christians all their life and they know better. Something will happen to somebody. And they'll be like, well, that happened because they did this, this, and this. Look here, let me just tell you. If that's how God really operated, we would all be in trouble. Right? We'd all be in trouble. But that's not how God deals with his kids. That's not how God deals with them. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. Find purpose in your journey. Find purpose in it. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. Any time where I've ever said, God, this isn't fair, the next statement was, God, where are you? When you get into situations in your life and you're saying, God, this just isn't fair, probably your next question is, God, where are you at? Where are you? So Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8, it says this right here, the Lord himself goes before you. He's not sending his angels. He's not whatever. What does it say? The Lord himself. He didn't send somebody to do his work. When you get in these times in your life, the Lord himself goes before you. The Lord himself. The Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. If you're in a battle right now and you're asking God, God, how did I get here? And God, where are you at? He's right there. He's right there. He's right there in the thick of it with you. The thing that the devil does the most with people when they get into a battle is he makes them feel all alone, isolated. And then he goes a step further and he makes you feel like you're the only ones that's ever had that type of problem. And then when you get to that thinking, then you really start having a pity party because you're like, well, why me? Why would I be the only person on earth to ever go through this? And then you get really uppity and you start getting irritated and bitter at God. How can I preach about that so well? I've lived it. I've been there. And I've done those things. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So when you're in that battle and you're asking God, God, where are you? He's right there. He's right there with you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid and don't be discouraged. How does the devil work in your life? Discouraging the heck out of you. He will discourage you till you don't even feel like you can go out in town. He'll have you hanging your head low to where you feel like you're not as good as the next person. Look here, nobody's better than you. Nobody's better than anybody. Have we made different choices? Yeah, but you know what? Here's the deal. When you think about life, it's as simple as this. Everybody, every person, every individual is two or three decisions away from a really great life or a really bad life, just in the decisions that they make. Right, Brother Larry? So what decisions are you making when you get in those places in your life where you're saying, God, this isn't fair? A lot of people, what they want to do is the absolute opposite of what they should do. What we should do is we should press and pull into God. Why? Because the Word says, if you draw close to me, I'm going to draw close to you. But what a lot of people do is they start backing up from God. A lot of times what I do when people call me with a mess and, hey, I like dealing with people's messes. That's what God's called me to do. I like it. I like helping people. But here's what I ask him. Have you even gotten in the Word yet before you called me? One of the things God left out when he called me to pastoring was that I didn't realize I was going to have to be Dr. Phil. And I don't have my own show, and I don't get paid as much as Dr. Phil. All right? But I'm like, have you read in the Word at all before you called me? if you're thinking that every Sunday morning, 45 minutes with me is enough, it's not. If you're thinking the few Bible verses that I read you on Sunday morning is going to help you all throughout the week and that's all that you need, you're wrong. Because it's not enough. It's not enough. You have to get into the Word and you have to see the promises of God for yourself. Because when the trouble comes, you have to have something to speak into that battle, into that struggle. And you can't speak it if you don't know it. You can't speak the Word if you don't know it. You got to get into the Word. And so when you're in those places and you're saying it's not fair and you're saying, God, where are you at? I want to just reiterate and encourage you right now that He's right there. He's right there with you. If you can't feel Him, press into Him. And a lot of people say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to do that. Okay. You know, I've been in church my whole life. I've been in the ministry my whole life. And I'll say things and I realize that sometimes people don't understand what I'm saying. What is pressing into God? You turn everything off. Get alone. Take your phone, put it in the other room. Get on your knees and just talk. You don't have to have some fancy prayer to communicate with God. All you have to do is get alone with Him. You know how many times I've just gotten alone in my house and I've just shut the door and I've just got on my knees and I've said, God, I am so messed up. Lord, not only am I messed up, but this situation is messed up. And God, I just need your help. And Lord, by the way, I don't feel like this is fair. See, it's okay to be real with God. God wants you to keep it real with Him. Because if you can't keep it real with Him, you can't keep it real with yourself. A lot of folks say, well, God knows my heart. Yes, He does. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. God wants to get you talking. Get you talking. Talk to God and tell Him. Don't leave anything out. My dad raised four girls. And he always loved hearing about our day. And we'd come home from school and we'd sit down and he'd have his TV tray out. He'd have all of us something to drink, and he'd just sit there, and we all thought it was so weird. He wanted to know everything about our day. And we'd sit down, and he'd go, I want to hear all about your day. Don't leave any details out. And when I get alone with God, and I'm just having myself a moment, and I'm on my knees, and I'm talking to Him, I'm saying, God, I'm going to tell you all about it, and I'm not going to leave any details out. God, I know you know every detail. But God, I'm going to tell them to you. And I'm going to tell you just how they hurt me. Because God, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And God, if I'll speak it, you'll heal it. God, if I'll speak it out, God, you'll come into that place where I'm hurting really bad and you'll begin to make me new. Talk to God. He's right there. He's right there in those moments with you. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 5 and 6. We're talking about when we get into those places in our life where we're telling God this just isn't fair. And one of the things that I can tell you about those moments that you'll think about is you're not going to always understand everything right in the moment. There are things that I've gone through years ago, and I'm just now beginning to understand them a little bit. There's something up with us humans where we think that we need to understand everything to be able to just move on and go forward. You don't have to understand everything. Do I believe you'll understand it later on? Yes. There's things that you go through that they're for you to recall 10 years from now. You know how many times that I've had to call my dad and I've had to say, well, such and such just happened. And this is a first for me and I've never had this happen to me. I remember one time very early on when I first started pastoring, he came into my house and, bro, he'll just show up. He'll just show up, and he'll expect you to have him some breakfast or something. And he showed up at my house, and I just had this look on my face, and I can't hide looks from him because we're just alike. And he said, "Well, what's bothering you?" How many of you got one of them looks? I can't fake it. When something's bothering me, it's just bothering me. And I began to tell him. And he said, "Kelly." And he told me how many years ago. He said, "I dealt with that same thing. And this is what you're going to do. And this is what I had to do." See, some of the stuff that you are going through right now is going to help somebody 10 years from now. You're not going to like that you're going through it. You're not going to appreciate it till you get on the other side of it. But your struggle and your battle is not all about you. God's going to use it, and he's going to use every ounce of it in the way that he uses it nobody could even think of. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I want to tell you this morning, half-hearted efforts aren't going to get you anywhere with God. You either trust him or you don't. And let me just tell you, if you don't trust God, you need to be very real with that. We live in a society where everybody's like, "Well, I'm okay if you're okay. I'll accept you if you'll accept me. I'm fine, you're fine, everybody's fine." The problem with that is that we lose who we are and what we stand for. And we wake up one day and we don't know who we are or what we stand for. And so it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And if you're having trouble trusting God, be real with that. Just say, "God, I'm having trouble trusting you." A lot of pastors that I talk with, they get irritated when they come across somebody that they've said, "Well, I don't even believe in God." That doesn't bother me, because I fully know who God is. And if they keep sticking around me, they're going to know who he is. And not only are they going to know who he is, but they're going to believe who he is, because God goes with me everywhere I go. And his hand of favor also goes with me wherever I go. I'm not intimidated when someone's like, "I don't believe in God." Look here. Great. Because see, God's about to show you who he is. I'm not going to stress about that, because I can't make you believe in anything. But God, just his goodness is enough. What does the word say? His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. My dad always said, and I never knew what it meant until I became an adult, and he always said, "There's no atheists in foxholes." There's no atheists in foxholes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You cannot lean on your own understanding. If you do, you're gonna go nuts, because there's things about your struggle and your battle, they're not fair, and that you can't understand them. You can't understand them, and you will drive yourself crazy. Crazy, literally crazy. If you're trying to understand just exactly why you're going through what you're going through. Lean not on your own understanding. When you get to those places in life where you're telling God this just isn't fair, the most powerful thing you can do is try to not figure it out. Just say, "You know what, God? You've allowed this. I'm not going to drive my mental self crazy trying to analyze and overanalyze and overthink and dissect and all this stuff. But God, I'm going to leave all of that to you. God, you tell me what exactly I need to do. You show me. God, fill up this brokenness with who you are. And God, help me to just trust you and not to lean on my own understanding." The thing about battles is, like I said in the beginning, they involve other people. How many of you have people in your life that you love them, but you don't understand them? So if you're going through battles in your life and you're saying, God, this isn't fair, a lot of the battles are about other people. You can't understand everything that's going on with other people. I used to say, before we did Celebrate Recovery for years and years, I used to just say, and I'm going to be honest with you, okay? Because if I can't be honest here, nobody else is going to be able to be honest. See, the pastor sets the pace for what's going to go on in the church. It's not my job to fake it till you make it. I don't believe in faking it till you make it, because that's going to get you confused in your life. The old Kelly, years ago, would have said, well, that person's just a drug addict, and they just need to stop doing drugs, and it's that simple. Keisha, is it that simple? It's not that simple. But see, God had to do a work in my heart to get me to understand certain things. There's things about people that have left you in a position where you're saying, God, this isn't fair, and you're so mad at that other person because in your brain you can't understand them. Look here, stop trying to understand them. You can't. They can't understand themselves, just like we can't understand ourselves a lot of times. To say, God, in Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over that person. God, prick every part of their soul, Lord, that you're unpleased with. God, convict hearts. Lord, I ask that you would help that person right now. See, when is the last time you just really got down and dirty with praying for somebody that's really messed you up really bad? See, a lot of us, we're just sitting there saying, God, this isn't fair, but see, we're not doing anything to make the situation better. Prayer is what's going to make it better. And acting on the Word. And you can't act on the Word if you don't know the Word. And so it says here, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Stop trying to understand everything. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. This is such a big thing that most people mess up on. Because they'll make sure that some of the ways in their life they've acknowledged God. But it says, in all of your ways, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. We're on summer break, and my kids are with my mom and dad a lot. My dad loves his grandkids more than he loved us kids, I guarantee you. He does. He's not even denying it. He's just like, I sure do. He ain't make no bones about it. And I can tell especially that Colton has picked up on some things just because he's been around my dad. And I don't care what Colton's doing. If he's eating a piece of ice, he prays over it first. The other day, he was eating chips with me, and every chip he ate, he was praying over it. I was like, I'm not sure I like this because this is helping me to keep track of how many of these chips I'm eating. And I just assume not know. But see, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. My dad prays over everything he eats. He prays over everything he does. When I was a kid, I was thinking, oh, my God, he's praying again. You want to go to the grocery store, Kelly? No. Nope. You're going to embarrass me, and you're going to start praying for people in the produce aisle. That's funny till you become that person. People will say, Pastor Kelly, will you pray about such and such? And here's the deal. If people ask me to pray about it, I'm going to pray about it right then. I'm going to pray about it right then. Because I do believe that we serve a God that comes into situations just on the blink of an eye. Amen. We were doing food out here a couple weeks ago, and somebody messaged me on my phone. They messaged the church page, and they said, I'm coming through the line, and I've got a brain tumor, and I'm going to die if God doesn't heal it, and I want prayer. I don't even want to mess with the produce, but what I want is prayer. See, don't you know that when God ordained and birthed the food ministry, that He knew what He was really doing? Amen. What did God do in the Word? See, I'm not a genius. I just looked at the Word, and what I saw was that God gathered people and He fed them. I don't even hardly look at my phone when I'm doing that food, and I just happened to glance at it. And as this woman starts walking in the parking lot, I don't know her, didn't know her for Adam, still don't know her. When she walked up, God spoke to my spirit, and he said, Kelly, that's the woman with that brain tumor. You lay your hands on her, and you tell that tumor to leave her body right now. And before she even said anything to me, she said, I'm so-and-so, and I'm the one that's messaged you. And I said, okay. And I leaned over that table, as hot as it was, sweat pouring off of my underarms, sweaty, stinky girl. And I said, I'm going to put my hands on you. And I grabbed her head, and I said, in the name of Jesus, tumor, you get out of this woman. You go right now. See, if you're sitting out there and God's called you to do something and you're telling God everything that's not fair about your life, you're going to miss some opportunities to make someone else's life better. God has made your life better. You may not see it. You may not can comprehend it because you may be right in the middle of something. But God has helped you. And the only thing, the only move, see, Jenny, that we can make is turn it around and say, you know what, God caused me to be a blessing. Lord, it doesn't matter what's going on in my life. If you'll use me in someone else's life. You know how many times, Keisha, that I've sat up here and just told God how brokenhearted I was? And I said, now, God, I'm going to go preach, and I'm going to do exactly what you told me to do. And God, as I preach the word that you gave me, Lord, I ask you right now to go to mine, God, and do what only you can do.
Amen.
See, you got to leave your own stuff, and you just got to do what God called you to do. And people get messed up and they think, well, I got to take care of my personal life first. No, you best be you.
Right.
You best be you. I've come up here from that chair to this pulpit more times with a broken heart than I can even tell you. But one thing that God knows, and he knows it, is that Kayla, I will suit up and I will show up, come hell or high water. And I've been through hell and the high water. And you know what? God got me through it. Life is not fair. Don't try to understand some of this stuff. It's beyond your understanding. And you got to be at peace with that. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. See, what you really want when you get into that place in your life where you're saying, God, this isn't fair, what you need is your path made straight. Your path made straight. How do you get that to happen? Trust in God and stop leaning on what you can understand. Trust in him. Trust in him. You're not going to always understand everything, but you're going to have to trust him. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. What is trust? What is trust? It's having faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for. See, are you sure of what you're hoping for? Are you sure of what you're hoping for? A lot of people, they're hoping for something, and every little thing that makes it look like it won't happen, it knocks them down, and then they start settling for less than God's best. Well, if I can't have this, I guess I'll settle for that. You need to stop doing that. Do you know what you're hoping for? Be sure of what you're hoping for. Be very sure of what you're hoping for. And certain of what we do not see. Certain of what we do not see. There's a lot of things that you can't see about your situation. There's a lot of things, and you're telling God, Lord, this isn't fair. And look here, you serve the God that can see everything exactly how it is. What's going on with you in your situation, you are only seeing a part of it. And the part that you're seeing may not even be accurate. Y'all ever get on Facebook and you're looking at everybody that looks all happy? I do. Sometimes I look on Facebook and I'm like, this is the fakest thing I've seen all day. This family here, they probably killed each other just to get this picture. And this couple, they're off in the Bahamas, and they're having issues. You know, You just sit there. Be certain of what you can't see. Some things are a progression. For 15 years, my dad kept saying, we're going to buy this property over here. We're going to buy this property over here. 15 years. See, if it takes a little bit, are you going to keep trusting God? He wasn't messed up over it on year 2 or 4 or 10 or 14. He just kept saying, we're going to buy this property. We're going to do it. And then he said, and we're not going to be overcharged for it. They're going to just walk away and let us pay what's owed on it. See, God will tell you what you're going to do. He'll tell you how you're going to do it. And then he'll give you a peace about doing it. The devil's going to try to mess with you. And he's going to try to make you think, well, this isn't fair. Well, this person's getting away with this. Nobody gets away with nothing. Okay? And for 15 years, it took 15 years. I started working for the church. He bought the property. That was the easy part. The hard part was selling them two houses. Barbie still lives there, and she's going to be able to stay there. I thought, oh, my gosh. Nobody's going to want to live in these places. Oh, my God. God sent people. And those houses were a blessing to them. Probably about year 2 into my pastoring, I was opening up this door, and God said, stop. Take a deep breath. And I took a deep breath. He said, do you smell that? And I said, no. And he said, it's the new thing that I'm doing. And I looked over here, and I began to see what God wanted to do. That manna center isn't over there right now. In the spirit realm, it is. See, are you certain of what you can't see? Let me help you figure this out. Whatever God told you he would do, you can be certain of it. Whatever God tells you he will do, you can be certain about those things. How do you get through those moments where you're just telling God this isn't fair? Be certain of it. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Get in a place where you can hear from God and have him speak to you and realize that whatever he tells you, he's got everything it takes to make it happen. So many people are saying, God, I can't do that. I could never do that. Yes, you can. Everything that God has ordained in your life, you've got everything it takes to do it. What you lack, he'll put the rest in. Don't disqualify yourself because of past failures and mistakes. You've got everything it takes. Last place for me this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 16 through 18. And I'm ministering today on those trials that just leave you saying, this just isn't fair. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. I'm going to tell you this morning not to lose heart. Not to lose heart. God's not done yet. If this situation is still fresh, if it's still raw, if it still aches and hurts when you're messing with it, when you're thinking about it, when you're laying in bed at night, I want to tell you to not lose heart because God is still working on it. If it still is bringing you grief and hurting you in your life, God is still working on it. Because see, God doesn't have hurt and pain for you in your future. He has success and wholeness and peace. So I'm telling you today as your pastor, do the word of God. And what does the word say? We do not lose heart. I'm asking you today to stop losing heart and stop losing sleep and stop being all worked up about it and just say, you know what, God, I invite the spirit of peace right into my life right now, right into this place where I'm all messed up. It says, so we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. If you're struggling in here today, at any point in time, all you've got to do is you need to stop and you just need to say, God, renew me today, day by day, moment by moment. God, renew who I am. God, show me who I am. Some people have been in their battle and their struggle so long that you don't even know who you are anymore. And you know what? That's okay. But be real with that. Say, God, I don't even know who I am anymore. God, renew me. We are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. Your troubles and your struggle and your battle, it's momentary. It's momentary. It's momentary. There's times that as a mom, I have to get right in my little kids' face and I just have to calm them down. And I have to say, look, it's over. You fell. You busted your knee. I know it's hurting, but it is over.
Hallelujah.
This is God right now, and he's trying to tell you something. I'm going to read it one more time. For our light and momentary troubles, your troubles are momentary. They are not permanent. If you're letting the devil whisper in your ear, this is how it's always going to be, I'm going to tell you, the devil is a liar. And what you're going through now, you're not going to always be going through it. Are you going to be able to be happy again? Yes, you are. Are you going to be able to laugh again? Yes, you are. Are you going to be able to feel again? Yes, you are. Are you going to be whole again? Yes, you are. These are momentary troubles. They are not permanent. Amen? For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. What God has for you is going to outweigh any trouble that you had to travel along to get to where he's taking you. You're going to a better place in your life. It's not going to always be this way. God is working it out right now. Be patient. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. See, when you're looking at a situation and it looks one way, you need to stop looking at it. Because look here, that thing is not even as it really appears to be, but it's temporary. It's temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. There's some things about your struggle you cannot see right now because it's not time. But God's got the situation. I hope that this has ministered to you today. I want to minister right now to that person that says, you know what? I am really in something and I am struggling and I am broken and I just feel like this just is not fair. I'm going to ask you to stand where you're at because, see, we have a God here that he can meet you right where you're at. It rains on the just. It rains on the unjust. There are things that undoubtedly they've gone on in your life and they've not been fair and you're having trouble laying them down. You're having trouble just saying, God, I'm not going to focus on this anymore. See, God knows. God knows all about it. If you're in your home right now and you're watching me on Facebook Live, I'm going to ask you to just stand up from your couch right now and raise your hand because, see, God is going to meet you right where you're at. If you're in your car and you're driving and you're listening, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand. Keep one hand on the wheel and put one hand up. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, all over the place this morning, God, I ask that you would meet them right where they're at. God, right in that place where they feel like something's gone on and it's been unfair, God, I ask that you'd give them grace. God, and I ask that you would give them favor. And Lord, most importantly, I ask that you give them peace. God, give them peace. And I thank you, God, that you're moving them along day by day, God, and you're helping them in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be blessed. We'll see you here at 5:30. We're going to have pool party at 6. We hope to see you. We're going to have food and a good time.